There's a sutta where the Buddha compares a good meditator to a good cowherd. He talks about the 11 skills of a good cowherd and how they have their parallels in the skills of a meditator. If you haven't been a cowherd, a lot of these skills wouldn't mean much to you. The analogies are not all that effective. But there are a couple that are very easy to understand. One is that if the cattle have wounds, you have to treat the wounds. The first thing you have to watch out for are fly eggs. Flies will come and lay the eggs in the wounds. And as the little maggots come out, they'll feed off the flesh of the cow. So you've got to get the eggs out as fast as you can. In the same way, the Buddha says you have to be very careful not to tolerate any unskillful thoughts in the mind. Try to get them out as quickly as you can. Many times people will say if you just suppress them, they come back. Here the analogy breaks down a little bit. You have to understand an unskillful thought, where it comes from, what the appeal is, what you like about it, and see through the appeal. The traditional perceptions you use for that are in constant stress, not self. The things you lust for, the things you desire, they're not going to last all that long. Watch out what you have to do in order to get them. Because you lose them, and then you're just left with the karma. The same with anger. You can do a lot of unskillful things through anger. Sometimes you can prevent things you don't like, but oftentimes they'll come back at you. In the meantime, you've created a lot of bad karma. So watch these thoughts. Don't simply accept them as being a natural part of having a human mind. They're fly eggs. They'll eat into your flesh. You're trying to feed the mind with good grass, good water, or whatever food you would give a cow. But then if there's something feeding off the flesh, the cows are not going to be healthy no matter how much you meditate. That's what the feeding of the grass is. You have to get the fly eggs out, and then you have to dress the wounds. This, the Buddha says, is like restraint of the senses. Lots of people come to me and they say they have trouble maintaining a practice at home. The problem isn't so much what's wrong with what they're doing as they meditate. It's what they're doing for the rest of the day. They're going around wounded, and they're not taking care of their wounds. The eye is a wound. The ears are wounds. The nose, the tongue, the body, the mind that goes out and looking for things to feed on. These are all wounds you have to take care of. We like to think of them as sources of pleasure and happiness. But as with so many sources of pleasure and happiness, they're open to infection. So you practice restraint. Now, restraint doesn't mean you don't look and don't listen to things. You're very careful about how you look, how you listen. Ask yourself who's doing the looking. You have to look at the relationship you have with your senses as a cause and effect process. What's doing the looking? Because it's not that you simply sit around perfectly innocent and then something comes and slams into your eyes or ears, giving rise to greed, aversion, or delusion. Often these things are looking for trouble. You've got these things already in your mind. It's like the teeth. I was talking with the dentist one time. He was talking about how he would remove teeth and put them in a garbage can that was clean. Come back the day later and find that there are little worms already in the teeth, eating them up. There was something inside the mouth that was keeping the worms under control, but the potential for something to eat into the teeth was already there. This is the way it is with your mind. There's a potential for eating away. Whereas as John Fun would say, the eye is a disease, the nose is a disease. There's a passage in the canon where they list the different kinds of diseases. Disease of the eyes, disease of the ears, nose, etc. And he would translate that his own way. And say, well, actually, the eye itself is a disease. The ear is a disease. The disease of greed, aversion, and illusion, full of germs. You've got to protect it, because otherwise things outside will come and aggravate, feed the germs. So you've got to pick out the fly eggs. Watch out for your mind, what things you're thinking about. The fact that a thought appears in the mind is a result of past karma. But what you do with it is your present karma. That's what you've got to watch out for. Because if you keep on indulging in greed, aversion, and delusion, lust, envy, jealousy, there's some more fly eggs, and they'll grow. They eat more of your flesh. So you have to be careful about what you take in. Again, you can look at things and listen to things. The Buddha doesn't have you go around with bandages over your eyes and ears. That's where the analogy doesn't really follow through. But you do have to look after these things to see why you're looking and what's the result of looking, why you're listening, what's the result of listening, and so on down the line. Which kind of qualities are you encouraging in your mind? Because if you're encouraging the wrong ones, of course, when you sit down to meditate, you're going to have a huge mess to clean out. And the task will be so large that you get discouraged. So this requires that you be vigilant as you go through the day. And as the Buddha said, in order to maintain that vigilance, you have to have a good sense of comfort in the body. This is why you try to maintain mindfulness of the body as you go through the day. Of course, the term mindfulness of the body, or mindfulness immersed in the body, can mean many things. But ideally, you want to be feeding the mind as you go through the day, so it's not so hungry to go out and take in all these germs. So as you go through the day, try to breathe as comfortably as you can. Think of the breath energy flowing naturally. Wherever there's a sense of tension or tightness, let it dissolve. Make that an activity that you do throughout the day, so that when you sit down to meditate, it won't be anything strange. You'll just be able to do it more thoroughly, with more attention, in more detail, more effectively, because you're not distracted. Otherwise, though, as you go through the day in the midst of other distractions, try to be as grounded as you can with a sense of well-being, breathing in, breathing out, the breath energy flowing through the nerves, breath energy flowing through the blood vessels. Detect any tension building up, disperse it. Builds up again, disperse it. That way you want to be mindful as you go through the day, alert as you go through the day, because you can see there are results. When you're feeding the mind well like this, then you won't be so eager to go out and feed on things outside, all the infected things that there are out there. This is your protection as you go through this society of ours. They want you to be infected. That's why they expose so much to your eyes and ears. So you'll have to learn how to first get out the flags, the parts inside you that are not working for your well-being, and then dress your wounds. If greed wants to look, don't look. If anger wants to look and listen, don't look, don't listen. Try better reasons for looking and listening, better ways of looking and listening. You can look at a beautiful body, say, and you can focus on the beautiful aspects, but there are also very unattractive aspects, even in the best-looking body you can think of. It all depends on what you're looking for. As you go through a crowd, you can look for the beautiful people, or you can look for the signs of aging. How many wrinkles can you find? There are ways of counteracting your defilements all over the place. Depends on what you're looking for. So that's how you dress wounds. Get out the fly eggs to make sure that your dressing just doesn't keep the fly eggs inside. And then be very careful how you engage with your senses as you go through the day. So the time comes to sit with your eyes closed. There's not a lot of disease to deal with inside. You've been nourishing the body and mind as best you can as you go through the day. Now you're ready to do it a lot more thoroughly. So even though you're not a coward, never been a coward, you can keep this image in mind because it's very easy to understand and relate to. It's images like this to help you keep the Buddha's teachings in mind. Someone once complained that some of the Buddha's images are pretty gross. The flayed cow. There are a lot of flayed cows, or cows with their skin removed in the canon. There are the bandits sawing you up with a two-handled saw. These vivid images are there to help you keep in mind lessons that otherwise would be just too bland and easy to forget.